I say we've been talking about battles, and we've been talking about how we need to recognize what our part is and what God's part is. And sometimes there's one more thing that we need to realize that we haven't stopped and talked about yet, and that's how to get out of the way. Sometimes we can hinder what God wants to do in our lives. Oh, wait a minute, he's God, he can do whatever he wants to do, right? Well, he expects your cooperation. Matthew, in chapter 13, at the end of the chapter here, at verse 58, it says this, talking about Jesus, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Talking about his hometown. He's talking about a group of people that saw him growing up at the carpenter shop with Dad. He's talking about a group of people that saw his family, and they couldn't get their perception of who Jesus was as that little boy running around their town to take a look at who Jesus was and what he was able to do. They couldn't get past their preconceptions of who he was in order to receive what he offered to them. So all the mighty miracles and all the things that he did in other towns and in other cities around that area, he was not able to do in his own hometown because they couldn't believe he was who he was. You know, we can get in God's way too. There's a lot of ways that we can get in God's ways. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to compare something very common to us all with a spiritual truth. Anybody ever had a plugged-up pipe? Plugged-up pipes are no fun, are they? The purpose of a pipe is to carry a flow of liquid, and when pipe's plugged up, it doesn't work. There's a lot of reasons that pipes get plugged up. Sometimes you try to put too much material through a pipe, and it just simply can't carry it, so it backs up. Sometimes you put the wrong thing in a pipe, and it plugs it up. We have had a sewer line at Phoenix Place where I live recently, that one of the neighbors called and said, "You know, we've got this terrible odor, something wrong with the sewer." And upon investigation, they opened up an access box and found several microfiber towels that someone had apparently flushed. Now, why on God's green earth someone would do that, I have no idea. But they put the wrong thing in the pipe and it plugged up the pipe. And not only did it affect them, it affected everybody around them. You know, you can put too much through a pipe and plug it up. You can put the wrong thing in a pipe and plug it up. Sometimes, if you've got an old building, the pipe gets narrower over time. Well, the pipe doesn't change, but stuff accumulates in the bottom of it. And it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, and that 4-inch pipe now all of a sudden is a 1-inch pipe, and it can't do what it's supposed to do. Another very common problem. Sometimes the pipe can get damaged, it can get crushed, it can get broken. There are things that can happen to it from the outside in that causes it to be not all it's supposed to be. And sometimes you can put a plug in the pipe, intentionally. You know, you plug up your sink, right, so you can fill it full of water. Sometimes you can put a plug in a pipe. Now, I'm talking about all these physical, natural things because sometimes there's a spiritual parallel. As a matter of fact, most of the time there's a spiritual parallel to most of the things that we see in the physical realm. And there is one here too. I am going to throw one more thing that can happen to those pipes. If you got a drain pipe outside and you've got trees and plants around it, you can get roots in your pipe. And that'll, you know, something just kind of grow in there from the outside and mess up the pipe to where it can't work the way that it's supposed to work. So with all of those natural kinds of blockages in your mind, let's think about some spiritual blockages. You know, we are supposed to be a conduit of God's blessing. God is supposed to pour into us so that we can pour out of us to other people. There's supposed to be a constant flow. The Bible speaks of rivers of living water that are supposed to flow out of us. Well, in order for it to flow out of us, it's got to flow into us. There is supposed to be a consistent flow from God to us, through us, to other people. And then, by extension, through other people, to other people, through other people to other people. You know, if you take a look at the Mississippi River, it runs from near the Canadian border all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. And there's other rivers that come into it, and it branches out. And it waters a whole lot of the central part of America. You know, that's the way it's supposed to work in the church. God's supposed to pour into us. We pour into others. Others pour into others. Others pour into others. And pretty soon, there's a vast area that can be watered because of what flows through us. Well, what's God supposed to bless us with? Well, life, health, peace, to an extent prosperity, certainly spiritual prosperity, and maybe even physical prosperity. God wants to bless us in many ways, but He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to other people. So there's supposed to be this consistent flow that comes through us. Well, certain things can hinder that. Just like that natural physical pipe can be hindered by various things, you know, our spiritual flow can be hindered as well. One of the plugs we talked about in that natural pipe was simply too much flow through it. How many of you have felt in the last little bit overwhelmed by everything that's going on? The rest of your line. You know, there's so much happening right now, it just can't digest it all. If we just look at our community, if we don't go outside our immediate community and we look at all the needs and all the stresses and all the people that are sick and the people that are in the hospital and the people that have passed away, and we look at the stress on the medical people around us, there, you know, just other things to worry about. There's a piece of video posted on Facebook yesterday of some nut at the entrance from Phoenix Place to 80 in a van that tried his best to kill people. And, you know, I don't know if the man was, or the person, I don't even know what gender the person was, if we can even say that anymore. But this person tried to pull out into traffic wrong, decided to run up the side of the road, and was about to pull out into traffic when citizen pulled in front of him and blocked him about the same time the Kentucky State Police arrived. You know, but you know, there are so many things to worry about. Some nut's going to try to kill you on the highway. We get overwhelmed. We're not made to carry all that load. The strongest beast of burden, when it goes one little bit over its limit, is eventually going to break down. You try to put 5 tons of material in a half-ton pickup truck, it's not going to work. You try to put too much load that we're not designed to carry in the human heart, and it's going to collapse under the strain. Just like that pipe, if you try to force too much stuff through it, it can't work. The wrong thing or foreign object in the pipe. Well, let's get the elephant in the room first of all. First and foremost, sin. Sin in the heart of a believer can block the pipe. It gets in the way. It interrupts the communication. It plugs up the pipe. It's not supposed to be there, so... You know, first and foremost, that needs to go. But there's all sorts of other things that fall in that same category. How about worry, fear, and doubt? How many of us are carrying around a bunch of worry, fear, and doubt that's plugging up the flow from God to us, through us? And like we just said, there's plenty of things to worry about. There's plenty of things in the natural to be afraid of. There's plenty of opportunity to say, where is God in all this with all this mess going on? There's plenty of room for worry, fear, and doubt. But you know the one thing that doesn't change in this whole situation, and that is God and His character and His personality and the fact that He cares, the fact that He has a plan, and if we can figure out how to cooperate with Him, we can walk in the blessing that He has set forth before us. That does not change. God is not dead. He's surely alive. Unbelief. That passage in Matthew that we started off with, the problem with those people, they could not experience God's miracles because of unbelief. They could only look at Jesus in the natural because that's how they had seen Him. That's how they knew Him. So much like those people of Israel that came out of bondage in Egypt and came to the very brink of the land of the promise and saw that there were going to be challenges on the other side of that river and said, we can't do it. Their unbelief sentenced them to wander 40 years into the wilderness and die. The ones that believed and said, hey, haven't y'all been seeing what God's been doing for us? Don't you all understand that if he got us out of Egypt, he can get us into the promised land? You know, their vote got overwhelmed by everybody else because all they had, as you could see, was unbelief. We can't do it. They're too big. There's too many of them. They're too mean. They got walled cities. We can't do it. It's unbelief. Unbelief stops us. Unbelief stops us a lot of times because of self-doubt or self-hate. And you say, well, I don't hate myself. I don't doubt myself. Yeah, you do. I'm not good enough. God would do that for somebody else, but not do it for me. It's a plague on the church. Self-doubt, and self-doubt easily, when you hold on to self-doubt, it turns into self-hate, and that plugs up the pipe. I don't deserve anything God would do for me. Well, that's true, you don't. But he wants to give it to you anyway, if you just put out your hand and take it. So many times, the answer is right there. God's got it in his hands. He's ready to hand it to you, and you turn away because you don't think you deserve it. I'm not as good as somebody else. I messed up. I dropped the hammer on my toe and cussed yesterday. I better not go to church because I might pollute the whole service because I had a bad thought yesterday, or I got angry at my neighbor and told him what I thought about him. Get over it. We all do it. God knows it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He wants the relationship more than you do. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed, believe it or not. He's a good, good father. And he wants to give us what's best for us. Now, sometimes what we want and what we ask for isn't what's best for us. But he's got what's best for us prepared. A cluttered mind, worry, fear, and doubt, unbelief, self-doubt. Sometimes we make things just too complicated. We plug up the pipe because we think there's got to be some formula. We've got to straighten up this or quit that or learn this lesson. We've got to do something in order to receive from God. There's only one thing that you've got to do to receive from God. Well, I'm going to say two. One is to have a relationship with him, to be in his family, which is to be born again. And the second thing is to ask. Because, you see, that's another way we plug up the pipe. We have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss to use it for ourselves. You see, remember, we're supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. It's supposed to flow through us. God blesses me. God delivers me so I can offer deliverance to somebody else. Spread it. Exactly. God gives us seed that can grow a crop in us. And when we bring that harvest in, we take part of that seed and we re-sow that seed into somebody else. You've been delivered from an addiction. Help somebody else who's suffering from that addiction. Because it's the same. You've been down that road. You understand how it works. God has delivered me from this, so I will help someone who is in the same situation. I had these terrible financial problems, and God delivered me out of those. Let me counsel somebody who's had financial problems. Someone's got problems raising their kids. Well, I had problems raising my kids, so I can minister to them and tell them what my experience was and how God helped me through that. We're supposed to pass it on. Too much, the wrong stuff, accumulation, buildup, damage. Building a dam? Not asking's like building a dam, by the way. It'll stop the flow every time. But you see, even a dam's meant to have a flow through it. If you build a dam without an overflow, you know what's going to happen? It's going to overflow anyway where it wants to. You'll get too much pressure on it and break, maybe. You see, we're supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. It's supposed to flow through it. Now, all these different blockages that I've talked about, most of which are self-imposed, but not all of them are. Remember those roots? Those roots come from the outside. They come and they infiltrate. And they get in. And they penetrate a weak place. And then they plug the pipe up because they want to suck up all of that water that's in the pipe. And the tree says, wow, I got a good source here. Let me take it off. So nothing can flow through it. We have things from outside. There are outside attacks. And you realize anything takes maintenance. You got pipes, they take maintenance. When you start seeing the flow slow down, you might ought to put some Drano through the line and dissolve the plug that's in there. If you see it starting to slow down and there's a tree planted right close to it, you might ought to look and see if there's a root that's grown into the line. You might ought to be sure that you've got the plug out of it. You might ought to check the trap to see how much hair and grease and goo's in the bottom of it. Everything takes maintenance. Spiritually, it's true too. We've got to flush things out. We do that with the water of the Word. We got to flush it out. We got to, it's this worry, this fear, this doubt, the cluttered mind. We got to take things and lay them on God's altar and flush the rest of the junk out with the Word and keep it flowing. Because if it's not flowing to us, it can't flow through us. If the plug's between you and God, fix it. If the plug's between you and other people, rip it out. You got to do some maintenance. Take it a little deeper. Talked about what plugs things up in the natural. Here's some things that plug up the flow in churches and church members. Denial. Denial is like this. You've got a plugged sewer line. You're standing ankle deep in muck, and you say, I don't have a problem. There's not a problem here. No, this stuff doesn't smell. No, my feet aren't wet. But you see, it wears a mask in church. And that mask is, I can't make a bad confession. You know what? If you got a problem, you got a problem. God can solve that problem. It is a good confession that I have a problem and God can fix it. See, people can go in a ditch. Now, should we confess the truth of God's Word? Yes. Is every promise yes and amen? Yes. We can confess God's Word, but the fact to say that there is no problem when there is very clearly one is sometimes problematic. I'm going to say some people can handle that because they're looking at it the right way, but then you've got somebody who's inexperienced in the faith, and they see you standing ankle deep in sludge, and you saying there's no sludge, they think you're a nut and your God is powerless. You got to be careful. You got to consider the maturity of the person that you're talking to. So we need to be real careful that we don't block things out with denial. You know, if there is a problem, yes, there's a problem. God can handle it. God can fix it. God can point you in the right direction. He can tell you who to ask for help. There are days when you just have to call a plumber. There are days when you just have to call a brother or sister in the faith and say, you know what, I can't handle this problem on my own. Can you help me? That's why everybody's got Bruce's phone number. Deception. Deception is a pipe plugger. There are people who will intentionally deceive you, who will intentionally lead you down the wrong path, who will tell you that, well, you know, you're having this problem because you didn't tithe this month. You're having this problem because you said a hateful word to your neighbor. And they try to dump this whole load of guilt and shame on you when God has already said, if you've confessed that to him, he's cast it as far from you as the east is from the west. We don't need to be built up in muck that we don't need to keep. People are ready to deceive you. There are people who will teach you a lie intentionally, and then there are deceived people who will pass their deception on to you thinking they're doing the right thing. You know how you sort out deception? In this book right here. And you figure it out. And you get on your knees. And you say, Holy Spirit, who lives in me because I'm a born-again believer, Holy Spirit, who wrote this word, help me understand what I'm going through right now. Help me understand what the truth is. Just wash this junk out of here. Dissension. Brothers and sisters throwing rocks at each other. You ought to get the shot. I can't believe you got the shot. You ought to wear a mask. I can't believe you're wearing a mask. Every church is doing stuff like that. And for other more serious things as well. Dissension in the body of believers interrupts the flow. It breaks the pipe. Because you see, we each individually have this relationship with God. God's supposed to flow to us. We flow to others. As a corporate body, we do the same thing. We can crush the pipe in the church, and that gets you in trouble. Division. You start with dissension, and decision ends up being division. And you've got the left side of the church that's mask-wearing, shot-taking folks, and you got the right side of the church that's saying, I ain't wearing no mask, ain't taking no shot. And, you know, I'm using that as an example because it's fresh in everybody's mind right now. You know, at the end of the day, it's your choice. But at the end of the day, the body of believers needs to be in unity. And if somebody makes a different choice than you, that's on them, not you. It ain't your job to fix them. It ain't your job to belittle them because of their choice. We're not going to go there. We can't go there as a body of believers. Self-righteousness and holier-than-thou attitudes. I ran across this morning on Facebook, somebody had posted the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. The day the squirrel went to church in the first self-righteous church, and revival broke out. more or less because Sister Better Than You started naming names. But you know what? That's a funny song. But self-righteous people destroy bodies of believers. Self-righteous people plug their own pipe. They take that stopper and just jam it right in there. And then they super glue it down so they can't get it back out. Because after all, I'm fine and you're not. After all, I'm right and you're not. I got the whole ball of wax and you don't. Self-righteousness will break you because God has to break that in you. I was talking to somebody this morning and we were talking about people demanding God that do he do things and trying to twist his arm. And the real thing is humble yourself before God. And that doesn't mean I'm lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. What it means is, hey, God, you're God and I'm not. It's the end of the Job story. Hey, I'd heard all about you and I thought I had it figured out, but now I'm seeing you face to face right here and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. How dare I question you? Judgmentalism. Who made you judge? There is one righteous judge, and it ain't you, and it ain't me. It is the master's spot to judge the servant, not the other servants. A religious spirit. What's the difference between the church and a religious spirit? Well, a religious spirit says that if you do certain things and do them a certain way, and if you don't do certain things, then everything's fine, and religious spirits tend very much to be legalistic. It goes with that judgmentalism. I've checked all the marks over here. You missed a mark over here. Shame on you. We're right, and you're wrong. Our denomination's going to heaven, and yours isn't. Can we go on from there? Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? I'm pretty sure they got a demon. By the way, gossip will do that too. That wasn't on my list, but I'll just throw that right in there. Now I'll give you one more big one. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a showstopper in the life of a believer. I'm not saying you got to forget somebody that did you wrong, but you don't need to hold it against them. I always thought Mike Barnett's description was really good. You want to put somebody in a cage, and every so often pull them out and beat them up a little bit and stuff them back in the cage. That's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness poisons the one who's carrying it. It hurts the carrier of unforgiveness so much more than it hurts the person you haven't forgiven. A lot of times the person you haven't forgiven doesn't even know they offended you. We're all in battles. Some of them are life and death. Some of them are comfort. Most of them are in between that somewhere. And we got to quit plugging up the pipes. But you know, if we do nothing, just like that pipe in that old house, I like to watch a lot of those renovation shows, and sometimes they'll cut a pipe out down in the basement of a house, and there's a 4-inch cast iron drain pipe that's got 2.5 inches of stuff, sludge, in the bottom of it. And that's because you didn't clean it as you went. If you'd flushed that out every so often, it wouldn't have been that bad. We got to start flushing our pipe, spiritually speaking. Because any of these things that we've talked about that provide blockages, it hurts us and it hurts those that we're supposed to be touching. Because if a pipe is plugged close to the source, everything downstream is starved. So if we're starved, if we're plugged up, how can it possibly flow through us to something else? Or at even a different way to look at it, if our pipe is plugged up, then whatever's flowing through it is polluted by the time it gets downstream. Streams of living water. Living water is living water because it flows. If it gets plugged up, the water goes stagnant. Stagnant water grows stuff and stinks. It's the difference between a brisk mountain brook and a swamp. Flowing water, living water, flowing, it nourishes everything. Stagnant water can be poison. So what I'm going to ask you this morning is this. Are your pipes plugged? And if they are, why are they plugged? Is it some of the things that we've talked about this morning, or is it something else that has shown up as you were thinking about what's been said? Is clear living water flowing to you and through you? If it's not, this is the time to fix it. Stand with me. The altars are open this morning. Now I'm going to ask you to do this. Clean your pipes. Clean your pipes. Because we as a body cannot have living water flow through us if living water isn't flowing through us individually.